It wasn't until the young man was up here leading the music that I understood why I was asked to come here this morning. I was asked to come here this morning because no other visiting speaker would come on April Fool's Day. But it's by the foolishness of preaching the Lord does great things, huh? And it is good to be back with you again. I'm always honored to be here. It's a privilege to be with you, and I'm thrilled inside. And I'm doubly blessed because my wife is able to be with me this time. And the last time, yeah. You remember the last time I confessed to you that without her, I'm just half a man. So, yeah. Oh, it is sweet. He was lying on his hospital bed, and he was soon to depart this life. He was my hero, my role model, my mentor, the model for ministry that I was following. And I thought at that time I was well on my way to serving with effectiveness. And I went to visit my role model in the hospital to comfort him. He had a very serious disease, and we all knew that his time on this earth was not too long. And as one of his young Timothys, as one who had learned so much from him, I thought I was going to go to the hospital room and I was going to comfort my Paul and tell him that I'm going to be faithful, and I was going to extend to him some of the grace that he had extended to me during the time that we served together. This man loved me, showed his love in so many ways, and there on his, could say, deathbed, at death's door, this man looked at me and spoke words to me that I needed to hear that I will never, ever forget. My model for ministry. Everybody's following somebody. Everybody's got a model. Our world is filled with people who are selling themselves as the model. Some are taking drugs. Some are living wild lifestyles. Everybody's selling something, and everybody's following a model. And if you forget any and everything else I say this morning, I want you to hear me say that this morning, you and I have the benefit of choosing the models that we follow. And why would we not choose the very best models for our lives and for the ministries God has called us to and for growth? Models will either pull you along and propel you into greater things, or models will pull you down, dooby dooby down, all the way down to the bottom of planet Earth. Models are very, very important. This morning I've been asked to speak about the models for ministry growth. And the text I've been given was from Acts chapter 18 all the way to the end of Acts chapter 20. And I looked at that and I thought, why, you talk about a mission impossible, huh? There's so much. Take about 14 days to preach through this, huh? No, I'm not going to preach 14 days. We'll get out before then. But I have chosen this morning to focus on Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38. And we can look at those passages of Scripture as we see the role model. The role model of the Apostle Paul, as he himself serving his master. Paul was at Miletus. He was on his way down to Jerusalem. He did not have time to go all the way back up to Ephesus. He wanted to get there, go to Jerusalem. And so he called the elders together and he sent for them. And when they arrived, he said some words that I think are very important. He said, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia." You know. If you want to have a good role model, you need to have a role model that is proactive in life. Proactive. Brothers and sisters, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not called to sit on the seat of do nothing and wait until Jesus comes back from heaven to take us home. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called to be on mission, and we are called to be proactive. And we, as his body, as his hands and as his feet, we are called to be proactively invested in ministry in the world. I'm told that a lobster, when it's carried onto the rocks, that the lobster has neither the instinct nor the capacity to climb back into the water when the tide recedes. The lobster just kind of sits there and waits for the water to come back in and take it away. Brothers and sisters, let us never have a lobster kind of model for our lives. Let us never have this beidongda, this passive approach to life that says, well, if God wants it done, God will have to do it. Dear friends, when God wants something done in his world, he often chooses people to do his work through, and we're called to be proactive. The Apostle Paul was proactive. Just like my Paul in ministry was proactive in taking this young Timothy under his wing to love me and to raise me up and to teach me what it means to follow the Lord, to be proactive. I heard a story of a man who ran a business, and he was getting ready to take a vacation, so he called his second in charge in, and he said, "Now here's a list. I've got all these things I want you to do," and he enumerated every one of them. He said, "Now when I come back," he said, "I want you to do this and this and this," and he said, "and this is the list of everything, and every day I want you to look at this list. I want you to read this list twice." The man said, "Okay." So the boss came back, and do you know he found things in a mess? And he said, "Why? What's happened? Did I not leave you the list?" And the man said, "I did exactly what you told me to do. You told me to read that list twice every day. I read that list twice every day, but did not do a thing." Brothers and sisters, is that not the way that sometimes we do? The Apostle Paul, he was very, very proactive. He was an activist. He did not just kind of sit around. He was serving. He was spreading the gospel. And he was a man who was very, very proactive. Let's see if I can do this. Did it happen? Okay. That's because he was able to overcome the centripetal force that would cause all of us to come together and have a holy huddle, you know, to have the holy clump together. He was empowered by the Spirit of God, and therefore he had this centrifugal force that cast him out into the nations, unto the known part of the world that he was a part of and that he wanted to be a part of. It's amazing to me that he wanted to go all the way to Spain. Wow, you talk about going to the end of the world. It kind of reminds me when I went to Perth, Australia. If you drew a line from where we were from in Kentucky and Ohio, and if you could draw a line from there to Perth, Australia, I don't think you could get any farther away in the world than that. Far, far away. That was the Apostle Paul's spirit. You see, having a model to follow that is a model that's proactive and a model that is outside the fellowship of faith. Brothers and sisters, we gather together, and I like it too. I like to worship. And then the sisters kind of swaying with the music, and we're clapping our hands, and I'm kind of going, yeah, this is good. I like this. There's not a thing wrong with that. But brothers and sisters, in addition to that, let us add, and let us have the Spirit of God add to us this centrifugal force that will move us out of our comfort zones, move us out of our fellowships, and allow us to embrace with effectiveness the world for which Christ Jesus died. It's amazing to me that we spend so much of our time and our energies and our resources upon ourselves when there is a world out there waiting, just waiting to hear a good word about God. Consistent. Oh, how we need to be consistent. The Apostle Paul said he served the Lord with great humility and tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots. Consistency. That means that regardless of circumstances, I tell you there has never been a convenient time that I've ever been called to serve the Lord. Never. It's always inconvenient. Do you know we people are very inconvenient people? Isn't that true, Brother Moby? Have you ever met anybody, Brother Rama, who has a crisis that's a convenient time? I've never met that. I mean, we're just kind of inconvenient. But in the middle of all this inconvenient stuff, we're called to be consistent. Always consistent. The Apostle Paul was always consistent. You could count on him. You could count on him as the model for ministry. He was going to show up. He was always going to be there. He was always going to be who he was. And he was a person that... It's like there was a man in the 15th century, actually 16th century, his name was Nicholas Hausmann. And Martin Luther, that great reformer, here's what he said about this humble pastor. He said, this man named Nicholas Hausmann, what we preach, he lived. What we preach, he lived. Brothers and sisters, let it always be said about us that what we preach, we live. That there is a consistency, that there is a correlation between life and lip, between what we say and what we do. Consistency. When you have role models, choose role models for ministry that are consistent, that every day they show up, that they are who they are, and that they are humble. Now, this is a little thing about what consistency and transparency is all about. Transparency, huh? A person who's to be transparent, and a person that's to be humble, and a person that's to be consistent, and a person that's to be proactive. These characteristics, they reflect the kinds of role models that we need to both have and to be. Wait a minute. Have and to be? You mean I'm a role model? I'm supposed to be a role model? Yes. We all are role models for somebody. Everybody has somebody looking to them. Everybody has influence over somebody. You say, oh, I have no influence. Oh, do not say that. God gives everybody influence. The question is not, do we have influence? The question is, what do we do with our influence? Positive role models, kingdom-oriented role models, they teach us how to use the influence that we have. There are people that you will come in contact with that all the pastors and all the churches and all the lay leaders of your churches will never be able to impact, but you know them and you work with them and you interact with them and you have influence with them, and under God you can be a role model for them and produce growth in their life as God through you blesses their lives. Are you with me here? Are we all together? Am I just flopping my chops up here? Yeah. Maybe say, oh, maybe he is the April Fool. I'm not so sure. to be transparent, to be humble. Wow. Hudson Taylor. He was introduced at a big church in Melbourne, and he got this flowery introduction. You know, it's almost kind of like Jesus had come back. You know, I mean, they really painted this picture of Hudson Taylor and how wonderful a servant, and true, he's a servant, wonderful servant of God, you know. Hudson Taylor got up and he said, well, he said, although I appreciate everything, he said, I prefer to think of myself as a little servant of an illustrious master. Role models that are humble. Humble kind of role models. With great humility and with tears. Great humility and with tears. What's the tears all about? Willing to pay a price. Not playing games. Being transparent. Sometimes, you know, we're not real transparent. You know, transparency is a wonderful thing. The Apostle Paul did not say, I'm a great apostle and I'm with you and all days and life is wonderful and sweet and isn't it grand? It's not Hollywood. You know, it's truth and advertising. It's being who you are, where you are, and being humble where you are. This is the role model that we all need to emulate for ministry. This is the role model each one of us has the potential of becoming and also of selecting. There's too much Hollywood in the modern church. There's too many games. There's too much that we take from a world and we look at things from a worldly perspective. And the reality is our Savior suffered. And when we serve Him in humility, we will have tears and we'll have severe testing. It's a joy to serve the Lord, but I tell you honestly, there are tests that come. And we need to be transparent with it. And this is what we don't need to have when we have the weekend phase. Yeah. The weekend phase. You know, you see some people, how you doing? I'm fine, brother. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. And you say, well, if you're doing so good, how come your family's falling apart? And how come you lost your job and everything? You're struggling. No, there are struggles in life. The weekend phase, that plastic stuff, that's not good role modeling. That's not a model for ministry. The Apostle Paul said, I was with you. You know I was transparent in your midst. You know my struggles. You know my humility. I was there. A role model will let you know who they are. See, a role model is much more interested in influencing you and allowing you to grow rather than trying to impress you. Our world wants to impress you. Hey, look us over, aren't we something? We got the latest thing. We got an iPhone 4S. Now, I've got an iPhone 4. My iPhone 4 is smarter than I am. But I'm not going to iPhone 4S, I'll tell you why. I don't want any phone smarter than me to talk back to me. I'm afraid of what I might hear. Might be a dangerous thing. And persistent. The Apostle Paul, very, very, let's see if I can do it this way. Very, he's consistent. I kind of like this one. I don't know, it has anything to do with what I'm saying. But, you know, consistency is a virtue only if you're not messing up, you know. Yeah. See, to be consistent. And humble. To be an humble person. Paul said, you know, he said that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. But I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Persistent. Would not give up. Refused to give up. Would not give up. Nothing can take the place of persistence. We had a president named Calvin Coolidge who said it this way. He said, nothing can take the place of talent, of persistence. Talent cannot. Genius will not. Education will not. Nothing can take the place of persistence. How many smart people do you know who are doing nothing with their life? How many geniuses do you know who are doing nothing with their life? How many talented people do you know who are doing nothing with their life? Lacking one thing, persistence. Never give up. Winston Churchill said it like that. Never, 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 never give up. The Apostle Paul would never give up. He would never quit. I know when I'm going to quit, though. I figured it out. I got to tell you, I know. I know when I'm going to quit. I know when I can stop being persistent. Right after the devil quits, then I'm going to quit. Yeah. Right after the devil quits, then I'm going to stop. But until then, I'm going to be like the old country preacher. He said, as long as I have strength, he said, I'm going to fight the devil. He said, when my arms stop working, he said, I'm going to kick him. He said, when my feet stop working, I'm going to bite him. He said that when my teeth fall out, I'm going to gum the devil to death. He said, I'm not quitting. Brothers and sisters, there's no finish line in this business of serving the Lord. And this business of having the model ministry for growth means that growth is always out there. Our reach ought to always exceed our grasp. Lifelong learning is not something that was just developed by, you know, educators in the last little couple hundred years. Lifelong learning, lifelong growth, lifelong maturity, that's the goal that we have as believers. Every one of us, we're not what we can be. We're not mature yet. The most tragic thing in the world for me is to see a believer in Jesus who has stopped growing. Tragic. It's very tragic. The only thing worse is to see a preacher stop growing. When you see a preacher stop growing, guarantee you, you see a church that they're leading stop growing. Hey, you can just kind of mark it on your chart. But I know where the mature ones live. In heaven. The mature ones are there. That's where the mature ones are. But the model for ministry is a model that emphasizes growth. I kind of like this. This is what it means to be persistent, like a little child. Huh? You know, he says, forget it, Josh, I tried walking once, but it doesn't work. Well, you know, how many times did you fall down when you learned to walk? How many times did I mess up trying to preach? Oh, well, let me tell you the ways. Practice, you just have to struggle with it. It was Brother Brandon who took off to Sunday school. One thing, I looked at the butterflies that they had, and that butterfly was beautiful, and they went from that butterfly just climbing out to that butterfly had its wings on. Did you know there was something that took place there? It was that struggle of that butterfly trying to flap its wings that allows the muscles to develop. And if someone were to say, oh, you poor pitiful butterfly, let me exercise your wings for you, and that butterfly would die. Yeah, the butterfly would be dead. See, growing, all the time growing. And I like this. Never, ever, ever give up. Never. Just never give up, huh? Okay. It doesn't hurt to laugh a little bit, you know. Yeah. Some people's halos give me a headache. It's okay to laugh, and it's also okay to be serious, huh? Yeah. Let's do this. Now, a role model to follow is someone who's a team player. This is not what a team player is. A team player is not someone who sits on top of the burden and tries to just talk a lot and say, oh, yeah, believe me, everybody, we're all equal in this thing. A team player is a doer as well as someone who's just an advisor. A role model for growth is someone who is also doing it rather than just being an advisor. It's too easy to offer advice. But you know, really, you know how we learn best? We learn best by involvement. And the best model is an example. Someone who is a practitioner. Someone who is involved in ministry and life. Now the Apostle Paul said, I have declared to you, declared to both Jews and Greeks, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. Inclusive. Inclusive. One of the things I like about coming back to Malaysia, one of the things I like coming back to this church, I see all kinds of different people. I really do enjoy that. I miss the multiculturalism of Malaysia. I tell you true. We love Taiwan. We're in Taiwan, and that's where we're supposed to be. And we do have the joy of obedience, of serving the Lord according to how He's led us. But coming back to Malaysia, seeing the multiculturalism of Malaysia, and seeing my brothers and my sisters of every different tribe and nation, it reminds me of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. That great crowd around the throne from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. That's why I always get excited about coming back here, because I see God's kingdom vision among you. Inclusive leaders. Some people's attitudes like this. He drew a circle with a pout. With my circle, I'll draw you out. But I drew a circle with a grin, because with my circle of love, I'll draw you in. Love's inclusive. Love's very, very inclusive. Love includes all. For God included all. For God so loved the world, the scripture says. One of the challenges that we do face, honestly, among our Chinese churches of Taiwan and other places, is the tendency to clump together, and the tendency to be exclusive, to not embrace others who are different. Brothers and sisters, role models that produce growth are those role models that include all. The Apostle Paul was a Jew. The Apostle Paul did not exclude the Gentiles. He was called of God to include them because God's love included them. Therefore, he was preaching the gospel to both Jews and Greeks, to everyone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not just a few, but all. And he included them all. Inclusive leaders are leaders that will help you grow. Inclusive models are those that will produce ministry growth in you. And inclusive leaders are also courageous leaders. A courageous kind of love. A courageous kind of love that includes everything. This includes it all. What will a dog not eat? A dog will eat everything. And you see, the canine food pyramid is everything. The dog includes it all. And brothers and sisters, we are called to include all. How could anyone reject someone else who was made in the image of God, who's precious to their Creator? Brothers and sisters, that's one of the reasons why I have great hope for your church. Because you have the open arm policy. You accept and love all peoples. And that's a wonderful thing. And courageous love. I love my brother Ian with a passion. I really do. We've served together several years, and I found this quote, and I sent it to him because it reminds me of him. Our brother Ian says things that we all need to hear, and sometimes it's uncomfortable for us missionaries, but he says what we need to hear, and I sent this quote to him because it reminds me of him. Courageous. He says, here's the quote. To go against the dominant thinking of your friends and most of the people you see every day is perhaps the most difficult act of heroism you can perform. To go against the flow. Groupthink. To challenge groupthink. to care enough to confront, to care enough to ask the question, have you looked at things from another perspective? I wanted to, but I was afraid I couldn't include it because I didn't know if it would pick up. But I didn't know I could run it on the machines. But there is a YouTube video that I really wanted to show because it has a bunch of sheep running around, and instead of, it's not called leadership, it's called leader sheep. Everybody thinking the same way. Listen, if everybody's thinking the same way, somebody's not thinking. That's really true. There's a multiplicity. There's a of perspectives. There's a wonderful diversity that's scattered out among the body of Christ. And it takes courageous love to speak truth, and takes courageous love to challenge the presuppositions that people hold to. It takes courageous love to look at someone and say to them, you need Jesus Christ. And the reason why your life is in such a mess is because you've messed it up and you've got a problem in your heart, and that problem is called sin. And it takes courageous love to say to someone, but there is hope for you if you will just but recognize the need in your heart to have the sin forgiven and the hole in the heart healed. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll heal you and give you new life and hope. That takes courageous love. And brothers and sisters, it's very easy to be courageous within the fellowship of faith. But courageous love is to be expressed out there as well as in here. And mentors. Mentors who bring growth, who are models for growth, are those who are speaking truth in-house and who are speaking truth to those who are out of the house as well. The Apostle Paul was under a divine mandate that he must speak truth to all. And now he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. And he said, I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prisons and hardships are facing me. I'm burdened this morning. I've been burdened about our modern church. And the reason I'm burdened is I'm afraid we forgot something. I'm afraid that we have forgotten that this business of walking with Jesus, while it's a call to celebrate, it's also a call to sacrifice. That's not popular. Who wants to sacrifice? That's going to be painful. Athletes say, no pain, no gain. Isn't that what they say? No pain, no gain. We say, yeah, that's right. And brothers and sisters, for those of us who are in the family of God, no pain, no gain. I'm burdened this morning. As a black pastor said to one of my white pastor friends, he said, we've learned something in our black church experience that you white folks have forgotten. He said, we remember that it took Jesus bearing his cross to bring salvation into the world. And we remember that it takes us bearing our cross to carry salvation out into the world, just like Jesus. Models worthy of your following are those models that are sacrificial models. Because you see, it takes a lot of love to be willing to sacrifice. A lot of love to sacrifice for others. It takes a lot of love for God to sacrifice for His glory. It takes a lot of love to be willing to pay the price. But we also have the flip side of that. Sacrifice is not a waste. It's an investment. It's an investment in the kingdom of God. And that investment gives eternal dividends. I mean, it's great. It's great to get that kind of interest back. Because you see, those who have invested in us are depending upon us to continue to invest in others. And this is the way God's kingdom moves from heart to heart to heart. It took somebody sacrificing and loving enough to bring the gospel to you and to me. And it takes us loving that much to carry the gospel on to others. Does that not hang together? Brother Rama, is that logical? Does that make sense? Does that communicate, brothers and sisters? Model for ministry. This is thinking outside the box. Got to think outside your pyramid. And flexible. Honestly, the only difference between a grave and a rut are the dimensions. Yeah. You know, flexibility. The Apostle Paul said he wanted to become all things to all men, that he might by all means win some. Flexibility is so important. There's a story that goes, a great big storm came through across a big field. And across this field there were big oak trees and blew the oak trees down. But next to the field there was like a little sungai. And there were reeds growing on the sungai, and the wind never moved the reeds at all. Just kind of moved them, but the reeds were still there. The wind was gone. The tree was down. The oak tree said, "Hey, so what's up with this? Why did the wind blow me down? I'm stronger than you, but you're still there." And the reed said, "Well, that's because I'm flexible." Yeah, flexible. Brothers and sisters, role models are flexible. Now, they're not flexible about truth. The truth is truth. Principles, methods are many. Principles are few. Methods must always change. But now principles never do. Truth is not negotiable. But the application of truth and how we extend the truth and how we share and how we do things. And this is something you know instinctively because you're used to living multiculturally. You're much more flexible than this Ang Mo Lang. You know, I've had to learn flexibility, but you know how to do this kind of naturally. To be flexible, these kinds of role models, that's what's needed. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news. Goal-oriented. Goal-oriented. Kingdom of God goal-oriented. Oriented. Did you get that? Kingdom of God, goal oriented. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know how much I love you, you don't know anything. If you don't know how much I enjoy being with you, I just totally miscommunicated everything. But let me say this to you. This church is not an end in itself. This church exists for a much greater purpose than itself. This church exists for the sake of the kingdom of God and extending His kingdom throughout the world. Not just in Malaysia, but throughout the world. You went, whoa, how can this be? It's the same thing that Jesus said. He said that you'll be my witnesses when the Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. This church exists not to make us happy. Not to make us feel good, and we should try to feel good if we can. But this church exists for a much greater purpose than just survival or paying the bills or gathering a crowd or getting people together. You know, getting people together, if that's the criteria, you know, Manchester United, they have us all beat, huh? No, it's not how many we gather together. That's how many we send out. It's the influence that we have outside. That's what it's all about. The kingdom goal. And sharing the good news outside with everyone. The Apostle Paul was goal-oriented. He just wanted to complete the task that Jesus gave him. That was his goal. The kingdom goal. The task of testifying to the good news. The good news of God's grace. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a role model worthy of your following. The Apostle Paul could say, follow me because I'm following Jesus. Let it always be said that this church can say, follow us because we're following Jesus. Follow us to that big world. Come and go with us. Come first to Jesus Christ. Come and take Him as your own personal Savior. And then go with us as we impact our world, as we realize the fulfillment of the goal that God has for us. May that always be. May that always be for this church. The Apostle Paul just didn't stop there. They all cried. He told him, he said, I don't know if you're ever going to see me again. Now, I hope to see you next Sunday. But they all cried. And they all wept. And the Apostle Paul gave them some things to remember. He said, just remember how I was among you. And he told the elders, he said, I want you to remember who owns the church. Who it belongs to. Christ purchased the church with His own blood. It's not ours. It's His. And honestly, brothers and sisters, a lot of foolishness in churches could be dealt with when we realize it's not ours. It's His. It's not ours. And then He said, be alert. Be alert. Don't let nothing divide you. He said, be alert because there'll be people that will rise up and they'll be selfish and they'll be ambitious and they'll try to carve people away. He said, be alert. Remember to be alert and remember the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, brothers and sisters, you're preparing for your future. I looked at those kids and my heart just, I said, whoa, and I watched the youth up here. I'm going, yes, yes. He called them to remember the future all the time. All the time. We are laying foundations for our future. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Remember that everything you're doing is going to yield fruit in the future. Sow the seeds well into the hearts of others. The best way to do that, friends, the only way to do that, is to first have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that happens when somebody says, you know, I'm done with all this stuff. And I recognize I've got a problem in my heart and I can't heal myself. And I recognize that somebody died on the cross, paid a price for my sins. And they were raised from the dead. They paid the price for my sins. That I can have healing in the heart. And the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead means that there's power there to heal. It's not just talk. It's reality. Jesus will change your life. And we who know him, we have changed lives. Stories have changed lives. And for those who don't know him, very simple. We said, Jesus, I need you. I need you for my own. Would you come into my life? Will you forgive me? Will you heal me? Will you be my master? Will you take this mess and do something with it? I commit it to you. The moment somebody's ready to do that, I guarantee you, God's willing to receive them. That's what the cross is all about. That's what Easter's all about. That's what this church is all about. That's what the kingdom of God's all about. Seeing this love grow from the heart of God into the hearts of people. Amen. Let's stand and pray together. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being with my brothers and sisters here again at Subong. Father, I want to ask you to move among our hearts in our time of invitation. Got this hymn of invitation, Lord, and it's a time, not just a way to get out of church, but it's a time to reflect and a time to commit. It's time to talk to you and hear you talk to us, and a time for us to humble our hearts before you. It's a time to celebrate the role models that you've given to us. It's a time to ask about how well we're emulating those. And Father, for some, it's a time of asking the question. Maybe all the models they've followed have been flawed, and it's time to take the model of Jesus Christ. Lord, you move among us as we have this hymn of invitation. Would you touch our hearts? Would you do your work? Would you call us to yourself? Yeah, in Jesus' name I ask. Amen.